Today is Sunday. It's March 12th, 2023. This is a Grand Canyon oral history interview with Dennis Endicci. Dennis spells his last name E-N-D-I-S-C-H-E-E. My name is Tom Martin. Good afternoon, Dennis. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
Great. Dennis, may we have your permission to record this oral history over the telephone?
Yes.
Thank you. Dennis, what year were you born and where were you born?
My birthday is 12/27/1959 over in Goulding, is Utah.
Okay, G-O-U-L-D-I-N-D? G-O-U-L,
yes.
Goulding. So that's Four Corners Monument Valley country.
Yes.
Cool. Hey, how did your, do you know how your mom met your dad?
I don't know. All I know is we've been together, you know, to the day that my mom, you know, she's gone now. And I was working over at Navajo Bridge, you know, back in 96 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, 95, 96. So did you go to school there at Goulding?
No, I went to school at Monument Valley.
Okay, cool. And how did you get into iron?
My brother is Monument Valley High School. That's when I graduated back in 86, 87.
Okay.
And then I went to Tuba City in 77 and 78. That's where I graduated. I got in the iron workers in 79. I graduated and I went to into an apprenticeship from there.
So that was down in Phoenix?
Yes. I went to Chicago, you know.
Was that your first job, was apprenticing in Chicago?
Yeah, I went to school down there, and Mike Charlie was one of the guys that, you know, he was there too.
Really? And, so Mike was doing apprenticeship as well at the time?
Yes. Yeah, at the time, back in 1979.
Cool.
We graduated back in 6 months or something like that. We went to training, you know. But from there, you know, I got on this job. That was, I already had experience, you know, before I even got into the Navajo Bridge.
So tell me about your first job in Chicago. What was that like? What did you do?
It was like in Farmington, you know, it was just like a bar joist and all this, you know. And later on, I got into, you know.
What was that first job in Chicago like?
Just experience, you know, with bar joists and things like that. There was two people that got killed.
Okay.
And I got on that job because a bar joist contacted to power line or something like that, and both people got killed, you know. So
hey.
I already knew that, you know, that was a dangerous job.
Yeah, yeah.
And both of them got killed. And from that point, you know, I always, you know, been cautious about, you know, what kind of trade I'm going to get into.
Yes.
And in the long run, it wasn't nothing close to what I'm doing in a bridge job. But then we're dealing with 520 feet above Colorado River, you know.
Yeah, and, yeah. Hey, before we get to the Navajo Bridge, where did you go after the Chicago job? Tell me a little bit about the experience you got in the 1980s working iron.
I was working at Four Corner Powerhouse.
Okay.
With this is back in not even being tied off or nothing like that.
And oh, back in the old days. Ball. Wow.
Yeah, they're riding the headed ball and things like that, you know. I was working at San Juan Generating Station.
Okay.
And then from there, I got into a guy that got, he fell 50 feet, you know, onto the turbine deck. And I took his place. And this is my early 20s, you know.
Yep.
And he died 7 days later.
Oh, man.
I took his place. I took his place. I was like 20 years old. I wasn't even scared of nothing.
Okay.
I used to be walking around on the structural and everything else. And I used to be, you know, connector.
Okay.
And from there, you know, I got my experience and everything. You know, this is no tie-off days. Up to this day, that changed, you know.
Yeah.
But back then, I wasn't scared. I never used to walk to the corner. I used to boom, 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 just like a cat, clear across. And
okay.
I used to unhook it, and a lot of things I have done, I looked at it back in my younger days. They don't even consider that up to this day that, you know, it was unsafe.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So as connector, that's like a bolt up, like the bolt up crew?
No, it's putting up the iron. The iron used to come up, and I used to bolt it up.
So a raising gang?
Yes.
Cool. And that was working on the San Juan Generating Station, that big power plant.
A full corner powerhouse on back in 1981.
Okay.
I was like only 20 years old.
Wow. Where did you go from there when that job was over?
From there, I was sitting at home, and all of a sudden I got this call, you know. And I worked in the valley for a long time doing rock busting.
Oh, okay. What was that job like?
That's all rebar, you know. That's the only job there was, you know.
Ah, so concrete.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And how long were you in the valley doing that?
That was the only job, you know, at the time.
Mm.
If you don't work.
Yeah.
That was the only job.
Okay.
Rebar work.
Okay. And that was in the 1980s?
Yes, up to 85, you know.
And then what happened 1985?
I kind of, you know, lost interest in a lot of things because of marriage and all that, you know. But
okay.
When it came down to Navajo Bridge, I just took off. And I went on that job.
So between 85 and 95, you're kind of family guy, raising a family?
Yes.
Okay. How did you hear about the Navajo Bridge job?
I knew it was coming up or something people were talking about, and then I looked into it and I got on. And ever since then, that Navajo Bridge, that was a good job. It was steady, close to home.
Yeah. Okay. Did you get that through the Arizona 7... Arizona Union 75 Iron Workers?
Yes, I knew it was coming up, and I heard about it, and I looked into it, and I wanted to get on, and I got on, you know.
Cool. So who was your boss when you were up there? Do you remember?
All I know is a guy named Dave. He was a floor super or something like that, you know.
Okay. Was he from the South? Was that Dave Mesh?
Yeah, he was from the South, you know. So he was the guy that, you know, was my boss, and then he gave me the blueprints and everything else like that. And I had to touch the iron from when it first came. I touched it about 5 times before it went into, you know, to the bottom of the erection, you know. So
okay.
Each time I had to go 1, 2, 3, 0. So if you look at your hands, you have to go from the bottom to the top, to the bottom, to the top. Each time I have to think, you know, how the blueprints tell me how to, you know, each one of those erections going to be, you know. So to the point that, you know, that we only had a certain amount of room. So each time I had to turn, it had to be on the bottom and on top, the bottom on the top. But when I had to go put it up on the it had to be on top. It's going to be on the bottom, you know.
So your job on that on the Navajo Bridge was as a rigger, or were you in the raising gang?
I was in a rigger. Oh. So each time I touch the iron, whatever's on the bottom has to be on the bottom, the top on the bottom, on the top. But when that with that skip coming up, whatever on the bottom is going to be on the first one that's going to be going down. You know, the bottom core was 16 tons.
Okay.
And I meant that sure, that, you know, that one goes on first. Anything else is going to be on top.
Who do you remember was driving the crane?
I don't even remember that far, but the company of the people that was there, and all I did is just my job.
Okay. Know? Yeah. Yeah. So your job was to make sure that now that this steel's on the ground, it goes from the ground out to this this kind of flat car sort of thing that then went out to where the crane was.
They call it a skip.
Skip. Okay.
It comes back, and then I have to load it all up. But when it goes back, when that crane turns around, I have to have everything that was on the bottom be on top, because whatever was on the bottom is going to be, you know, on top.
So it has to be the first down to the...
Yeah, the first down.
Got it. Got it. All right. So that's a lot of thinking on your part to get right.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. And what, you know, Dennis, when you first got out there to that job and were looking around, what were some of your first thoughts?
I was young, about 30, you know, at the time, and I was active, and they gave me the blueprints, and I told them that, you know, what needs to be done, you know, and the man just told me that, you know, I want these iron, you know, over here, and I had to start thinking right off the bat, you know.
Cool. Cool.
That I had to figure everything out my own, you know, what I had to do, but, you know.
Nice. Hey, do you remember an older guy named Ed Kent? He was tall and wiry, thin guy. Kind of the super of the job.
He was the bulked up guy. And I don't think he's around no more, you know, but he was there. But then he was the bulked up guy. But I heard that he was gone.
Yeah, that's right. What do you remember about him? What was he like? He was also had it from the South.
Yes, I never really, you know, contact with them because I'm always out in the yard.
Okay.
And as far as I know, he had a lot of experience. You know, he tell me about, you know, iron workers, you know, back in the South.
Oh, and, cool.
Other than that, you know, I really didn't have contact with them because I'm always out in the yard.
Okay.
And,
Were you driving the small crane there to load up the skip?
Well, there was an operator that's always, you know, lifting up things and that, you know. So I'm always on the more like on the moving things, you know.
Okay.
With the choker and everything else like that.
Yeah. Okay. So you're rigging for the operator on the land crane, on the rubber tired land crane.
Yes.
Cool. Okay. All right. And how did it all fit together? I mean, did it go pretty good, or was it a little bumpy to start?
Everything I did, what I did is just always, you know, what the blueprint tell me what to do, you know.
Okay.
All the sequence and everything.
Cool.
And that's the only thing that kept me going is just the blueprint itself. Other than that, you know, I touch the irons when it unloads, when I touch it, and about five times, you know, before it even goes up.
Okay.
Inside the, you know, the erection itself, you know.
Okay.
I touch about five times, you know.
Wow. And somebody was telling me that the iron came out from, I don't know, Indiana or somewhere on semi.
Yeah.
Just enough to keep ahead of you guys.
Yeah, it came out and I had to unload it and then I go through, you know, what blueprint tell me to do.
Okay.
That's the only thing that, you know, and then from there I had to take it by sequence, you know. One, two, three, four, even, you know, whatever on the bottom is going to be on top, you know, by the time it goes inside the erection itself.
Oh, wow. Okay, so did that start, like, when the semi came up, the first stuff you took off the semi wasn't going to be the first stuff that went out on the skip necessarily?
Yes, I had to load it up. Then whatever's on the bottom, whatever is going to be on the top, all that I had to do, you know, think about it.
Wow.
Five times, because there's no room for my cherry picker, it's a crane. I had to pick it up, and there's whatever's on the bottom is going to be on top again.
Right.
To do that five times, you know, by the time we go up to the skip. What is ever on the bottom is going to be on top before even the crane comes around and picks it up, you know.
Got it. Wow. Okay. And then did you where did you stay when you were working there?
I had a brother that was commuting, you know, in Page.
So
that's where I had, you know, to my lodging and all that came from him.
Cool.
And I was just kind of, you know, carpooling, you know.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. And then on the weekends, did you go back to Monument Valley?
No, I went back to Kienta. That's where my family was.
Oh, okay. Back to K-Town. All right.
Yeah, Kienta, yes.
Cool. So not that far away to commute. Was your brother working on the bridge too, or is he doing something else?
No, he was working at Navajo Generating Station.
Okay.
There in Page. So I stayed with, you know, he had a trailer on the back side, and that's where I was staying at, you know.
Cool. Who else do you remember working on the job with you?
There was all kinds of guys that, you know, the Navajo guys like Woody Ness, and then Smith, let me see. I know Mike Charlie, and there was just a bunch of Navajos that were working on that job, you know. It's been a long time, you know.
Yeah.
I'm kind of losing my memory, you know.
Well, that's why we're talking now. Is to get it down. Louis Begay was there.
Louis Begay and
Calso,
yes, and Mike Charlie.
Right.
Woody Nez.
What do you remember about Woody?
Woody Nez he was the oldest one. I think he's still living. He lives out there in Page, Arizona, you know. And he was there.
Cool. What was he doing? Remember what his job was?
He was just working with an apprentice, but at the time, the apprentice did all the work, you know, but he was there supervising and telling him what to do and everything else like that.
Cool. Okay. That's neat. And he's still living in Page.
Yeah, he's still living in Sechi, you know. I remember him, you know, being out there then. He's still living, you know.
Wonder how I'd get in touch with him.
Probably go with Sechi, you know, the chapter house, and try to contact him.
Okay. I'll try that, yeah. What do you remember about Mike Charlie?
Mike Charlie, me and him, is we went through an apprenticeship, you know, in the Chicago. We took that training, and that's where I know him back in 1979 or something like that, you know.
Was he also from Monument Valley?
No, he lives in Chocimito.
Where's that?
By Kienta.
Okay.
So that's the last time I really, you know, got in touch with them other than that, you know.
Okay.
But he's from that area, you know. Mike Charlie has been around the ironworkers for a lot of years.
Cool. And then what do you remember about Louie?
Louie? I haven't heard nothing about Louie because I think he does rod busting, you know. And I haven't seen him over at the Union Hall because I worked at the stadium over there, Raider Stadium, and then also I worked over there it's a Chinese, you know, it's a Chinese, I forget what the name was. Anyways, I worked in Vegas about 2 years, and then, you know, from there, I just kind of hung it up right now, you know, because I retired now.
Okay.
World Resort, that's where it was. I worked about, you know, close to a year over there.
Oh, wow.
Before I even start, you know, working iron again, you know, because I belong to the Boilermakers, too.
Oh, okay. All right. And what do you remember about Cal?
Cal Russo was connected for a lot of years, and I just all of a sudden, you know, heard about his, you know, past, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And, I know him back in apprenticeship.
Okay.
He went to, a lot of guys, they all went to Vegas for more money, you know.
Okay.
And he was one of them. So is Al Francis and a lot of guys that, you know, I know.
Okay. And then, let's see, who else? Oh, Al Bigman.
Al Bigman, he was young. He didn't know how to read the blueprint and all that. You know, he's the one that, you know, I was breaking in. But
okay.
Up to this day, everybody wants him, you know. He goes to California, he goes to Las Vegas, he goes to, you know, Arizona and everything. That's all he does is rigging. But at the time, when I was breaking him in, he didn't know nothing.
Okay.
But, yeah, up to this day, he's the number one guy, you know.
Cool. Well, you did good.
Yes.
Yeah. Well done. Cool. So once the first half was out there, then y'all moved around to the Marble Canyon side, to the lodge side.
Yes.
What was that moving around like? Did it go pretty smooth?
Yes, I didn't stay there, you know, but I commuted from Page, you know, so I never stayed there. Some of the guys that used to commute there just stayed there in their vehicle. And
okay.
That's for the States, you know, but I didn't stay there.
All right. Yeah, you got a place to stay in Page. It'd be a lot more comfortable than sleeping in your truck or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. And then building out from the Marble Canyon Lodge side, kind of repeated what you'd done already on the Flagstaff side. Just again.
Yes, I had a family up in Kienta, and that's where, you know, I go back every weekend, you know, when
okay.
I'm not working.
Cool. Nice. What else do you remember about that job? How I was thinking, was it pretty easy to understand, you know, those guys from the South? They would have had quite the accent.
Well, what I noticed is they're all Navajos, and a lot of them were adjusted to the heights and things like that, you know. I didn't have no fear back then, but up to this day, I think about it, and, you know, doing all that, and it is complicated where that, you know, you're dealing with height, and you're dealing with net envelope, but then we're not... We're not tied off or nothing like that, you know, so you can walk around and everything is more like, you know, it's just courage, I probably, you know, self-discipline and a lot of things that would happen out there, everybody was focused, you know, not falling down or nothing like that, you know, and there was a treacherous job site and everything that, you know, but everybody knew about what's going on, you know, and their surrounding and trying to be safe. And communication was one of the things that, you know, the key things that we have, you know. And I knew my job, so what I had to do. I was a rigger, and a lot of things that I learned from that job, I still try to teach people that, you know, it's an apprenticeship and things like that, what I've gone through, you know. I was young. I already had experience in a lot of things, so. And Navajo Bridge was one of the, you know, the stepping stones that, you know, that I actually acknowledge and to teach other people, you know.
Cool. Very cool. Let's see. Were you there the day they hooked the pin in, put that centerpiece in, and brought the two halves together?
No, that day I was on foot. You know, I didn't have the vehicle to go home, and the guy that was, you know, I'm riding with, and he said that I'm going home. You know, so I just jumped in with them, and I didn't do, you know, the last hookup. Because I didn't have a vehicle, you know. I was on foot the whole time.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to think of who. David Mesh was there. He was your boss. And Andy McElroy was running the crane. He was running a big crane out there on the bridge. And there was a guy named Ronnie Mack McFarland. He was also from the South. He was there. Do you remember him?
I know all the guys that were there, and it's more like a discrimination. Like, you know, I had the radio for a while, and then I was told that, you know, I can't hold the radio because of, I don't know. It's just more like discrimination, you know, to me.
Huh.
It was, you know.
Hey, tell me about that. What was going down?
It was just more like natives, and they don't want me to hold the radio and things like that. What there was, you know, the people from the South, they don't want me to hold the radio. There was like discrimination, you know. That's the way I felt, you know. They took the radio away from me, you know.
Huh?
Everywhere's like that back then, you know. It's the discrimination, you know. They don't want me to hold the radio.
Huh? That's stupid.
Yeah, that was back then, you know.
Huh. So it was like that back then?
Yeah, it was back then, you know. They didn't want me to hold the radio because, you know, I don't know. They probably, you know, looked at it, you know, where that I can't hold the radio just like them, you know. So they took that radio away from me, man.
Hmm. Huh. All right.
Even though I was in the top hand, you know, where the iron goes and all that, you know, I was one of the top guys that, you know, should be holding the radio, but then they took that away from me.
So when the steel was all loaded up on the skip, would you then go out on the skip with it and then rig it up to the big crane?
If I didn't have nothing to do, you'd be up on the skip getting all the chokers and cleaning the house and everything else. You know, when the crane comes around, I already had the choker and everything already, you know.
Okay.
And I did a lot. I did a lot on the skip that, you know, when I was not doing nothing, you know.
Okay.
Catch up and everything.
Cool. How did this skip get out to the crane out there?
With cable. Cable that was, you know, air tug it, and it pulled itself all the way out there to where it needs to be at. And then once it's all the iron goes down, and I already had, you know, the skip already, and I just load it back up, and then I load everything, you know.
Good.
I have it ready.
Cool.
I have it ready. That was my job, you know, to have it ready.
Cool.
And then all I had to do is just load everything back up. So whatever's on the bottom is already on top, ready to be lowered down into to the job itself, you know. So
and
I had a lot in my hand. You know?
Yeah, I bet you did. How many pieces of iron would you typically get on the skip? Do you remember?
Close to 30 pieces of iron.
30?
Yeah, 30. At least small iron. Everything, cross braces, and then the bottom skip, and 16 tons, the bottom core.
Okay.
Those are number one, you know.
The big ones.
Those down first, you know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then slowly on moving more and more stuff out there.
Yeah. By the time I get, you know, most of it out of there, and then I go back up to the yard. And wait for the next skip to go out there, you know.
Okay.
But,
how long?
Constantly iron that's been going down.
How long would it take you to load up that skip?
2 days.
Wow.
That's moving things and everything, you know, and then up to the, you know, to the point that it's ready to come back, and I'm already ready, you know, because the blueprint tell me what to do.
Okay.
No, that's the
yep.
thing.
Cool. And that makes sense. To like, all right, this is the next one, and this is the next one. And
yes, you,
and you have to figure that out, because you can't have something underneath another piece, and if they need the piece underneath, that doesn't work.
That doesn't work. Everything's got to be within sequence.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Whatever at the bottom is going to be the last one that be going in, you know.
Okay.
Whatever on top, it's got to be the one that's be going in first. But I got to figure that out, you know, how to stack it, you know. So it was more like complex job because you're working within a confined area that you have to go in, top. And the last piece that goes in, it's going to be on the top again, because that one there is at the bottom of the iron, you know. But when the crane turns around, that one's going to be on top, you know.
That's got to be the first one off.
Yeah, that's be the first one off, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And you got to make sure that stuff doesn't move once you set it on that skip. You don't want it falling or sliding or doing any of that stuff.
Yes. Everything that I did over there, it was like five times when it unloads and to the point that where it lowers down to the bridge, you know. I touch it five times, you know.
Okay. Wow. All right. What else do you remember about that?
It was a good job, and the guys that were actually doing all the bolt up and things like that, I never got my hands in that position, but then I was in charge with the crane. I was in charge with all the pieces to go in, and I was a rigger, you know, and there's a lot of things that, you know, that happened on the job that I didn't really know, but all I did is that's my job itself, you know.
Cool.
And I appreciated everything that I acknowledged there, but I was already experienced, you know.
Cool. Do you recommend, young kids in high school there at Kayenta or Monument Valley, do you recommend those guys get into ironwork?
It's only, you know, up to the individual, but I did, you know, experience a lot of, you know, people that, you know, got in and they quit and things like that. But you're dealing with heights. You're dealing with, you know, emotional, you know, stress and things like that. If you don't have that, it's not the right, you know, trade to be in because, you know, you're dealing with heights and balance and everything else if you're on the iron, you know. But
yep.
I retired now, and I'm supposed to be withdrawing my attention and everything else like that. But if you can go that far, because I've been in the ironworkers since 79. I reinstated back in 81, and I just barely hung up my belt, you know, just recently. You know, so in the long run, it's up to the individual. Yes, it is a hard job. It's the hardest job there is in the trade. And people that, you know, get the foot in the door, it's up to them if they're going to stay in.
Okay. But it sounds like it's, you know, if you're good at heights and you got to work under pressure, but it sounds like you can make a career out of it.
Yes, it's up to the individual if they want to stay in or stay, you know, just not retire, but, you know, move on to another trade.
Uh-huh.
Because they can't be, you know, be up in the area where they're not comfortable.
Right.
And the money's good and things like that. They don't pay no more than electricians. Electricians always their foot on the ground, you know.
Ah. Huh. Okay. And also, you know, as we get older, it's, you know, what's easy for me in my 20s, not quite so easy in my 50s or 60s.
Yes. In my early 20s and 30s, I used to, you know, throw deck and do this and that, you know, throw rods, being a rod hand and all that, you know. That's how I raised my kids, you know. Most of the bridges over there in Phoenix, I did it all, you know.
Cool.
Up to this day, I always say that, you know, my younger days, nobody couldn't throw a deck with me up to this day. You know?
Cool. Yeah, well, I certainly want to thank you for all the work that you did to build America's infrastructure.
Yes.
You know, we just don't think about the people who do the work to make this stuff done.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Who else do you think I should talk with?
Well, Woody Ness, you know, if we can get a hold of him, he's a lot older than I am, but he's still living. He's still over there in the Chi by Page, Arizona. And then Wayne Smith that was his partner. He lives over in Gap area. I don't know if he's still, you know, listed under the ironworkers or things like that. He might be out of Las Vegas, 433 Hall. You might get the phone number off them, you know.
Okay.
And
I'll ask Sangster, I'll ask Jason maybe to help a little bit.
Yeah, those are the people that was on the job. And other than that, you know, I just did my job at the time, but, you know, it's really good that you're doing some kind of, you know, documentary about this job, you know, because this is all Navajo.
Yeah, and
back in 1927, it was the first bridge, and then the Page Bridge itself is all white people, you know.
Right.
But now this is all Navajos that built that bridge, you know.
That's right.
And, I am glad that I was upon that, you know, bridge itself, you know. It's all Navajos, nothing but Navajos that built that bridge.
Cool. Yeah, I'm with you 100% and just trying to track people down and get their stories. So, yeah.
Yes. The Navajos took over the Western Hemisphere. The Mohawks has got the East. But us Navajos, we're number one because I looked at it over at the Raider Stadium. Navajos can outwork the Mohawks.
Cool. Cool. And anything else you remember about that job?
Yes, I got a son that's an iron worker, too.
Oh,
so
cool.
He's following my footsteps, you know.
Nice,
his
congrats.
Derek Industry, and he's a journeyman, so he went through the apprenticeship and everything. So he's following my footsteps, you know.
Awesome. Good for you. You must be very proud of him.
Yes.
Cool. Congrats. Nice. All right. Well, with that, I'm going to turn the tape machine off, but let's talk a little bit before I go. But I will wrap up the tape by saying this will conclude Grand Canyon Oral History about the Navajo Bridge with Dennis Industry. Today is Sunday. It's March 12th, 2023. My name is Tom Martin. And Dennis, thank you so very much.
Yes, I appreciate everything that, you know, you're doing for us. And then I never thought that anything's going to be, you know, in the oral history of things at the time, you know. But it's really nice. And I look at back in the day that I was out there, you know, building the whole bridge itself. It's something that can commemorate, you know, that I can, you know, tell to my grandkids, you know, I built this bridge, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very cool. All right. Hang on a second.